try to put on a face. Hey, I'm doing okay. I'm doing good. There's no problems in my life. I'm great. You know, we try to put on this front. Facebook is huge for that. People are posting all these pictures. Oh, our family is awesome. We have no problems in our family. Look, we're all so happy. This is perfect. But there's problems that come. There's storms that come. We try to hide it. Okay? A little family's talking about. We've got to call for those. Okay? Don't try to act like everything's perfect all the time. Because it's not. None of us has a perfect life when nothing goes wrong. We all experience these things. God is most clearly revealed in the worst moments. Job kind of shows us that. If you would turn to Job 40, we're going to look at verses 1 to 10. Job 41 to 10.
Sometimes life's most difficult circumstances lead to life's most enlightened moments. In a classroom of suffering and grasped only there, life's most important lessons are learned. This way for Job, he longed to know God. We know Job was a righteous man. He loved God. He tried to live his life for God. He tried to live his life showing what God has done for him. But it was in the very worst of his suffering that he met God and did his way. In his storm, he met God, but the meeting didn't go exactly how he had envisioned it. Let's look at verses Job 41 and 10. The Lord said to Job, "Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him." Then Job answered the Lord. I can see him like kind of cowering down. "I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have an answer. Twice, but I will say no more." And the Lord spoke to Job out of his storm. "Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me. Will you discredit my justice? Will you condemn me to justify yourself? Do you have an arm like God? And hear a voice thunder like his? Then adorn yourself with glory and splendor. Clothe yourself with honor and majesty." Job didn't stand a chance. Hear these questions from the Lord Almighty, kind of cowering down. A lot of times in our life we question God. There are times where things come up and we kind of think, why? When we look back and we go through circumstances, like I was talking about my baby Abram, it's like, why do you question? Why does your faith get shaken? You know God has this. He has been his answer. Job was finally ready to answer, address God correctly later on in Job 42, 1-6. Tell me Job 42, 1-6. Then Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be void. You ask, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me. My ears have heard you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent and just ask." We do that so much in our lives. I feel like a lot of times we come to church, we hear what the preacher's saying, we hear what people are saying, follow Christ, we hear it. It's going in our ears. It's kind of like some of our dads, some of my dad. If he had a remote in his hand, he would watch TV and say something, he wouldn't listen to what he said. I'm not saying my dad was a good follower, but great. But, I mean, a lot of times what we do when we come to church is, I mean, we sit in the pews and so much in our mind is we hear what's going on. I love what it said. My ears had heard you. Now my eyes have seen you. And when you really get God in focus, you really see who he is and what he's doing. You see the changes that he's doing in your life. You see God working in all these little ways in your life. A lot of times when we're going through these storms, we don't see him. We don't see him. But it's after the storm, when we're trying to recover after the storm, we start seeing him saying, wow, that's why. That's why he was doing that. That's why he led me down this path. That's why I ran into this shipwreck, because of these reasons. The worst days of Job's life bring him to the place where he finally was able, in his words, to speak out. How many stories can we tell of those who found God only when they hit rock bottom? Okay, I want you to start to talk for a second. I want you to talk to people next to you. I want you to talk about what does rock bottom look like? What does rock bottom feel like? You hit rock bottom. What does that mean to you guys? Turn to somebody, talk for a couple minutes, and we'll get back to it. Thank you.
have to use this in the gym. Okay. All right, let's bring it back in. Give me some words. What does rock bottom feel like? Let's start with feel. What does it feel like?
Hopeless.
Hopeless. Good word. What was that? Defeated. Depressing. Good. What else? Any other words?
Britney Spears to death and seven.
What'd you say?
Spears to death and
seven. Shaved head, everything. Okay, I got you. That makes sense. Somebody else had one.
It was like
humbling. Good. Okay. What does it look like? What is a person that hit rock bottom, what do they look like? Britney Spears 2007. Okay, all right. Got that. What did you say?
They can look fine.
Right?
On the outside, they might not ever know.
Right. You know? Yeah, like those boats earlier. Yeah, you can make it look all nice on the outside, but it may not be that way. What else? Anybody else know somebody that hit rock bottom? What do they look like all the time? Good. Trying to find purpose. I like that. We read a verse earlier. They're trying to grasp. They're trying to figure out, how do I get out of this? I'm on the bottom. I'm on rock bottom. You know, when you hit rock bottom, that's got to hurt. You fall on anything that's rock hard, it's going to hurt. Okay? How do I get back out of this? And I like this picture. It looks to me like a cave, like somebody hit the ground of a cave. Like, how do I get out of this cave? And it's dark. It's depressing. It's humbling. Okay? You feel terrible. Okay? How do you get out of this? How do you get out of rock bottom? Some people have hit rock bottom. And it's at that point they've realized, I need God. There's a number of stories I've heard of inmates that go to prison, and some of them have been sentenced there for life. And that's rock bottom. I mean, prison is a terrible place to be. But it's there that they find God. They start reading. They have time to read, and they read. I had a person I know, he's actually a Christian, and he does a lot of talks about this. He had got addicted to painkillers. And so he was constantly doing painkillers and spending thousands of dollars. Well, one night he got busted by the cops, and he had to spend some time in prison. And when he walked into prison, he got in this jail cell, and he said it was this big dude, tatted up, sitting there on his bunk. And he said he was immediately just scared. And the guy turned to him and said, hey, I'm glad you're here. I hope you study the Bible. And he was just like, whoa. Like, and he always says, like, that was God right there. I mean, here's a guy you think, okay, this guy's going to tear me up. But he actually said, I want to study the Word of God. And he said, that was a God thing. Inmates, people turn to rock bottom when they do that. Horrible news at the doctor. We've got a number of people at our church that have gone through cancer, battled cancer. We know people that have gotten bad prognosis and saying, you know, you only have a few months to live. There's a lady I know back where I grew up in Tampa, and she said, you know, that was a point in my life. She actually said I was happy to get cancer because it finally helped me turn my eyes to God. And to me, I was like, what? But in all reality, if you're turning your eyes to God and you're going to heaven, that's all you need. And that's what she was thinking. You know, I wasn't living my life for God. I was living my life for me. And this helped me hit rock bottom and know I need God and I want to be with God. Financial hurricanes. People that, you know, lose all their money. Or something happens where their business just goes under. And they think, I need God. And that's when they turn to God. Young parenthood. I'm going to tell you two stories real quick. A girl I know. Both girls were kind of living their lives for themselves. They had started making mistakes. Both girls got pregnant at a young age, and they weren't ready. One girl, still to this day, is, to me, living on rock bottom. She constantly is facing all these things. She was a Christian. She went to church with us. I mean, growing up in the church, and she is constantly living on rock bottom because she hasn't turned her eyes to God yet. The other girl, unplanned pregnancy. It happens, okay? This girl's made the best out of it, though. It was 5 months into her pregnancy, she said, I've hit rock bottom. I don't know where else to go but to live for God. And she's now raising that little boy in the church to know God. Okay? I mean, mistakes are going to happen, guys. Like, they're going to happen. You're going to do stuff you wish you could take back. You could regret it. But it's what do you do with that circumstance? When you hit rock bottom and you messed up, what do you do with that? I love the guy that I was talking about earlier. He went to prison for painkillers, but now he's going around talking about it and what he went through because people get addicted to painkillers every day. Okay, and there's all these different people that go through these circumstances. Yeah, you might mess up, but what are you going to do about it? Go teach somebody else about it. Help somebody else learn. This is not where you want to go. This is what it feels like. This is what it looks like. Don't go there. We're going to look at some pictures here. 6 years ago, Thursday, 27th, I know in Athens, we were rocked by some storms. I'd only been up here a year. I'm used to the hurricanes down in Tampa. I wasn't used to tornadoes. And when this happened, it was hard to see. It was hard to see. I went through, after the next morning, I went through it with my camera, and I just kind of went around taking pictures and just seeing what happens after a storm. What all do you have to do? And I want you, when we go through these pictures and you're looking through these pictures, I want you to look through and think about all the things they had to do after a storm. What did these people have to do to get back on their feet? And these, some of these houses, these were million-dollar homes. I mean, everything gone, and maybe looks like a dresser or something, or a piano or something there in the middle, still sitting up, the recliner still in the same position. I mean, this guy, he's trying to find all his dining room chairs, everything else is gone, just trying to piece things back together. This was a house in a very well-off neighborhood. Roofs, I mean, completely torn off. I mean, it kind of stresses me out sometimes to look at a mess in my kitchen or a mess in the laundry room. I'm like, oh, I got to clean this up. I mean, I can't imagine. Your everything you own is just scattered everywhere. I mean, some houses, they had like one wall still standing and everything else gone. So turn and talk. Talk to people around you. What did these people have to do to get back on their feet again? What does it take to get back on your feet after a storm happens? Go ahead. All right, let's bring it back in. What do you have to do? After a storm like that, what are some things you have to do? How do you get back on your feet?
Pick up the mess.
Pick up the mess. You got to pick up the mess. You got to start cleaning up somewhere. One piece at a time, right? What else you got to do? What's that?
Get help.
Get help. I mean, I don't know how to build a house. I know a lot of you guys don't know how to build a house. There's so much that goes into it. How do I get back to where I was? I mean, there's a huge tree laying in my yard. I can't do that by myself. I've got to get some help from other people. Good. What else?
Contact your insurance
agent. That's right. Somebody's got to pay for this, right? Yep. You got to. I mean, honestly though, there's little things that you have a huge mess in front of you, but you got to do the little things too. You got to help pay for it. What else? Two things I had, and these aren't the only things you have to do after a storm, but there's two things I thought about. You may have to relocate yourself. Okay, when these storms happen, maybe some of you are in a flood zone. Okay, and these storms keep happening to you over and over and over again. Maybe you need to relocate. Put that in practical terms. You're hanging out with people you shouldn't be with. These people are constantly, every single night, getting wasted. These people are constantly bullying somebody else, putting other people down. These people are constantly saying, don't go to church. You don't need to go there. I don't teach you anything there. Don't get connected to these other Christians. I mean, whatever it is, whatever you're in or whatever you've been in, that storm, maybe you need to relocate yourself. 2 Timothy 2:22. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. It doesn't say by yourself. It says pursue these things. Get away, first of all, flee youthful lusts. When I hear the word flee, it's not just kind of like a jog away. Like, okay, see you later. It is a dead-on sprint out the door. Okay? Flee. Get yourself out of the situation. You know, maybe you guys, when you get older, you go to a college, and you're at this college, and you know that is not the place you need to be. Your life is not right. Maybe it takes getting out and going to a new college. Maybe you're in a career later on in life where you know this is not where God wants you to be. It does not feel right. You're not living for God and His kingdom. And you got to get out. It's a tough decision. Yeah. But He tells us, flee. Get away from it as best you can. Or maybe you're around it in high school right now and you need to get out of it. Run away, guys. Take off. And I love it says, with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. With other people. You can flee. And as soon as you get out, you can get other people with you and say, hey, I'm struggling right now. I am so tempted to go over here and do this. My girlfriend and I, we've been together for a long time, and we just keep making mistakes. Like, what do I do? Talk to somebody else, and if you need to, maybe you need to get out of that relationship. There are things that you guys can do to get out, to relocate yourself. But the devil will still try and find your new address. Okay? Just because you've relocated yourself doesn't mean more storms aren't going to come. I'm not telling you that, guys. You may totally get out of it, and you may be totally away from that temptation, and there's something else that comes along that you got to face again. Okay, the devil is constantly, he is looking to ways that he can devour you and take you out. So they're always going to be there. But it's like that Under Armour commercial. We must protect this house. Protect your house. Turn and fight. Okay, look at Ephesians 6. We're going to talk about the armor of God real quick. I know you guys have heard this, but think of it fighting against the devil. Okay? Think of it fighting against the devil. Kevin and I were talking about this, and he pointed out the fact that all these things that it talks about in here, none of it is talking about your back. It doesn't really protect your back. Why? Because you're supposed to face the devil head on and fight. Okay? God gives us all these things to use to fight him with. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I know you guys have done Bible classes on, you know, the full armor of God, but this is such a visual reference that you could go to. When these things come, when the devil is here, I mean, I love that you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. I mean, that's a pretty daunting picture. You guys have seen Lord of the Rings, things like that, and seen all these arrows coming at you. That's what Satan does. He fires these flaming arrows at you all the time, trying to hit you, and they're constantly coming at you, and you constantly have to dodge them and get out of the way. But look, I mean, take up the shield of faith. Faith in God, and you can extinguish these arrows. Helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. These things that we talked about earlier. Put these things on, guys, and fight the devil. Take it to him. Okay? Yeah, we're going to have to relocate sometimes. We're going to have to get out of certain situations. But don't relocate and think, okay, the devil's not going to get me now. He's always looking. We have to have all this armor of God on ourselves. Resist the devil and draw near to God. Resist. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We just talked about fleeing youthful lusts, running out. But if you resist him with God, he will flee from you. He'll take off running because he knows he can't handle God. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Man, I love that verse. I love it. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. But he's waiting for you to take that first step. He's already done so much for us. He doesn't need to take any steps. He's right here. But we got to step towards Him. You come near to God, He will come near to you. The devil's going to take off running. But here's what it says. Sometimes you're going to have to grieve, mourn, wail. Your laughter becomes mourning. There's going to be dark days. You're going to be on rock bottom maybe. But come to God. He's going to come near to you, and He's going to lift you up. The Lord will lift you up if you humble yourself before Him. So you can relocate. Other thing you can do that these people had to do also is rebuild. Okay, maybe you don't want to relocate. Maybe you want to be right there. Your foundation is still there, but you don't have a house anymore. So you got to rebuild. Okay? One thing you can do is learn from your mistakes. Proverbs 26:11. One of the nastiest verses in the Bible. As a dog eats its own vomit, so fools recycle silliness. I love Proverbs. It just lays it out there for you. Any of you that have had a dog and has seen a dog do this knows how disgusting this is. And yet some of you will go home today and your dog will be licking your face and you won't even know if it vomited or not because he ate it. Okay? But see, I mean, look how nasty that is. As a dog eats its own vomit, so fools recycle silliness. We sin, we make mistakes, and yet we go right back to it like it's a buffet line. And it's nasty and it's sin, but we continue to do it. And it's silliness. It's not mandatory to learn the hard way. It's not. You don't have to keep returning to it. Return to God, draw close to Him, put Him in your life, and you won't even look at it. You'll realize that it is vomit, that it's disgusting, and you won't return to it. Why do we repeat our foolish choices? One of them is stubbornness. We're just set in our ways. This is how we're going to do it. I know it's bad, but I get through it every time, so I'm just going to keep going with it. We're unwilling to listen. You guys all have parents that have told you things over and over again. And I know they've said to you, how many times do I have to tell you? I know, but sometimes we're just unwilling to listen. The same thing I talked about earlier. We sit here in church and we hear all this stuff all the time, but we don't really listen. We hear it, but we don't listen. We don't follow what we're supposed to do with it. Pride. It's huge. Pride is huge. We think, you know, like I talked about earlier, we think we're going through this problem. Maybe nobody else is doing it. I don't want to mention anything about it because that'll look bad on my reputation or, you know, make me look bad. So I'm not going to say anything and I'm just going to keep going through it on my own. That's pride, guys. That's pride. We've got to humble ourselves to get down to really feel like see what we need to change. Lack of awareness, maybe. Maybe you don't realize that you're going through it. And maybe you don't realize that you're continually going back to what it is that's bringing you down. But putting good people around you, those good people are going to say, hey, man, look, it just seems like you're kind of down lately. You know, I've noticed some things you've been doing. You know, that's not you. You know, what's going on? And maybe they bring that out and you see it. And you become aware of, you know what, you're right. You're right. I'm not acting like the Christian I need to be. Lack of self-worth. Guys, this is huge for high school students, college students. We all want to fit in. We all want to feel like we're worth something. But sometimes things happen and you don't feel like that. And you feel kind of defeated and just, well, I don't really fit in. I understand that. Okay? But with God in your life, with Jesus in your life, you always fit in. Maybe you're not doing a popular thing and that's okay. Because a popular thing might not be glorifying God. Maybe you're going to go a different route and that's okay. That's self-worth. You are worth something to your God. No matter what anybody else in this world thinks, you will always be worth something to God. Okay? If your friends make you feel worthless, get some new friends. Be around people that are going to lift you up and encourage you. And be proud of you for living a life that is with Jesus. Build yourself up. Okay? Get yourself out of these situations. Build yourself up through God. And the last one is just straight rebellion. Why do we repeat our foolish choices? Just because. We just want to rebel. Some of y'all have faced that in your teenage years or college years. I understand. You get to a point where you think, I'm just going to be rebellious. But it doesn't get you where you need to be. If we're rebellious against God, I tell you now, bad things are going to come and a lot more bad things than usual, I would think. Because you're turning your back on God and you're saying, I don't need you right now. When you guys know every second of your life you need God. Also rebuild. Develop a strategy to go forward. What can you do from here? Where can you go from here to go forward? I'm going to look at Hebrews 12, 10 through 13. Hebrews 12, 10 through 13. I'll read it for you real quick. They disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and a peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. You were disciplined for a little while. God disciplines us for our own good, that we may share in His holiness. Guys, it's for a reason. He disciplines us when we're rebellious against Him, and He doesn't give us all the things that we know He can give us because we're being rebellious, but He disciplines us in that way. It doesn't seem pleasant at the time, but painful. But it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. I like that term. A harvest of righteousness and peace. You're building righteousness within you during this discipline time. There's going to be storms. It's going to be tough to go through. But develop a strategy to go forward. And part of that is accepting the discipline He gives us and relying on Him through that. Be patient. Be patient. I got two more after this. Be patient. Refuse to rush into action. So many times we take matters in our own hands. A lot of you guys, I don't know if you've ever met somebody that's been through like an AA program or an alcoholic that's trying to get over and be sober. But they give them these chips. And that one-year chip, I've met a couple people in my life that's gotten that one-year chip. And that one-year chip is so special to them. Why? Because it took a whole year of fighting battles to get that chip. And you may think, it's a piece of metal, it's a coin, whatever it is. Like, okay, it's just a chip. No, it means something. It means that they were patient. And the guys I've known that got it, they were patient with God. And they relied on Him, and He helped them get that chip. Psalms 27:14. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Guys, to rebuild, sometimes you're going to have to wait. During those storms, they needed a ton of contractors and people like that to come and help rebuild, but they didn't have them. You had to patiently wait. But once those contractors came, they rebuilt their houses, they were back to normal. It takes a little bit of time. You're going to have to wait sometimes. Don't think, well, God's not hearing me because He's not answering. No, sometimes in life, God's answer is no. And it takes a little bit of time before He shows you where He wants you to go. Be patient. And the last one is pursue God's heart. Psalm 27, 1 through 5. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me and eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent, and He will lift me high upon a rock. He's waiting for you to pursue Him, guys. Pursue Him. Talked about fleeing today. Pursuing is the same thing. It's a dead sprint in the right direction. Flee you from lust. Run away from it. Pursue God. Run as fast as you can towards Him. Go towards Him with all you got, all your strength, all your might, and find Him. He's not going to be far. I'm telling you right now. You go to the Word. You start praying. You pursue Him. He will hide you in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal you under the cover of His tent, and He will lift you high upon a rock. If you dwell in the house of the Lord, the door is open, guys. You just got to step through to see Him. Two more verses for you guys. Romans 5, 2 through 5. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Persevere. Get through it, okay? Your house is destroyed. Get through it. Just survive. You can do this with the help of God. Once you do that, that's going to build your character. These people that went through all these storms and these Alabama tornadoes, they went through a lot, but they grew because of it, and it built their character. After that, grasp your hope. You can grasp that hope now. You've gone through it. You know what it takes. You have the hope of being with God in heaven and living a Christian life for them. You have that hope, but you've got to grasp it. We want to see you all persevere. And as adults, we want to see that character grow. Like I said earlier, you guys are going to be our deacons, elders in the church. You guys are going to be teaching Bible classes. You guys are going to be helping churches grow. But most of all, and that's all because you're living in the kingdom of God. You're going to be doing all this stuff in the church, but we want to see you do so much stuff outside the church also. And helping other people see who God is and the glory of Him. Guys, you can do that for persevering, building your character, and grasping that hope. That's how we rebuild after the storm. It takes a community. It takes all of us together after a storm coming together. Somebody said, you're going to need help. Yeah, after the storm, we had tons of people, different churches coming in, just helping people clean up yards. People helping doing construction. We're taking food to different people. It was a community effort. Just like your Christian walk is a community effort. It takes the people around you. In my PE classes, beginning of the year, we do this game. It's called Build a Bridge Game. And what I do is I give them a mat. I give them a gym mat. I give them probably like 15, 20 poly spots and like some balance beams, some other things. And what I do is I put them at a cone. We'll start down here. You're going to start at this cone. And in the middle is water. You can't step in the water. If you step in the water, you got to come all the way back to the cone and do it again. Okay? So we have all this equipment. Now, it's your job to figure out how you're going to get down there. And that's all I say. And I leave it. And I do it with kindergarten through fifth graders. Kindergartners do this also. So they start to figure out, okay, how do we do this? So they start laying these poly spots down, the little rubber pieces of circles. I lay those down. Okay, we're doing this. We're working. We got to put the mat down. And sometimes they get to a point and they think, we're stuck. How do we do this? And they start back over. They do it again. So what happens is all these guys are doing this, and they finally figure it out. The first class, it probably takes a whole class period. And they finally figure it out, and some of them are like disappointed, and they weren't the first one to do it, and they're all upset. But at the end of the year, I do the same thing. I do the same lesson. I say, okay, we're going to build a bridge again. Here we go. And I put all the equipment out, and I don't say anything this time. I said, okay, get across to the other cone. Immediately, start working. They're doing all this. They're communicating. They're talking to other people. Okay, here's how we do this. Somebody falls off. They go back. Like, hey, I need help. So they'll actually get somebody to come back and set up another bridge to help that person get across. Then they come back, and they do it so much quicker. It takes like half the class. Guys, that's us. And I love doing that because they're learning about teamwork, and they're learning about communication and helping each other. But that's a Christian walk right there. We're trying to build a bridge. We're trying to get across all these treacherous things in life to get to the other side, to be with God in heaven. But meanwhile, we want to live our lives for God. Sometimes somebody's going to fall off, and they got to go all the way back, and they got to start over. And maybe they're on rock bottom now. But we're going to go back. Hey, we're going to find a way to get you, and we're going to get you, and we're going to go across together. So we'll go back. We'll put down some more poly spots. We'll build another bridge. We'll get them to where they need to go. We're all in the same spot, and we reach the end goal together. That's what I love. I love that about the teamwork aspect. You guys are a team. Everybody in this room, you guys are a team together with us, with your parents, with grandparents, with other churches, with people at your school. You guys are a team. It's a community. To recover after the storm, that's what you need. You need these people around you to get you through after those storms. Isaiah 40:31. Actually, we'll start in verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. Those that hope in the Lord, you're going to renew your strength. You're going to fall, you're going to get down, but you're going to get back up. You're going to renew it if you're hoping in God, if you're living for God. They will soar on wings like eagles. You will be taken to places you never even thought of, out of these dark caves, because of your hope in God. You will run and not grow weary. You're going to be on the right path. You're not going to get as tired because you know what it feels like to get down there in the dumps. And you will walk and not be faint. you're going to be strong. And that's our hope that we have for you guys, is that you do all these things. You live a Christian life. You stay going to church, and not because going to church is the answer. Okay? It's not, okay, you go to church, you become a stronger Christian. No, there's stuff that you have to do in church. You've got to put into it. You've got to help out other people that are struggling. You've got to help out younger kids that you can mentor. You've got to help out older people that are struggling and depressed and may have just lost a loved one. There's things that you guys have to do. Sitting here and warming a pew is not it. That's not saying, okay, you're going to live a strong Christian life. You're going to get to where you need to go just by being in the building. You've got to put into it. That's what we want from you guys. We want you to persevere through these tough times. And we want to see you soar like eagles. Soar on the wings of eagles. Right now we're going to do something. Here's what I want you guys to do. We're going to take just a few minutes. And there is nothing in this world right now that you really need to be focused on, right? You guys are here. You guys have time. There's no homework assignment you need to be doing in the middle of this. Okay? This is a time that you can just pray. That's all I'm asking you to do for 3 minutes. 2 to 3 minutes is pray. But here, I want you to be specific about your prayers. I want you to at some point in your prayer say this. Reveal to me where I am broken right now. Where do I need repairs before the storms come again? Okay, that's one thing. I want you to ask God sincerely in your heart. Reveal to me where I'm broken right now. What do I need to fix? He's going to show you. It may not be as soon as you leave here, but he's going to show you if you continue to pray these prayers. Next thing I want you to ask. God, give me strength where I'm weak. Maybe you're in a storm right now. If you are in a storm right now and it's tough, then pray, let me see you and let me persevere through this to know you better afterwards. Okay? Give me strength where I'm weak. And like I said earlier, maybe you don't realize where you're weak at right now, but give me strength through that. Help me see that. Give me strength through that. And if you're in a storm right now, help me persevere and know you better afterwards. And the last thing, God, do whatever it takes to get me on fire for you. And that's scary, right? Say, doing whatever it takes. That's scary. That's a risk. That's taking a jump. Saying, God, whatever it takes, I'm not on fire for you, but I know in my life I need to be on fire for you, and I want to live for you. So, God, I give myself to you now and do whatever it takes. It's scary, but I want you guys to pray that, because that's where we want to be. We want to be with our God in heaven. We want to help the people around us. We want to be strong. We want to be a team working through these battles together. Okay? 2 to 3 minutes. Just get 2 to 3 minutes and just bow your head, pray, and concentrate on these things. There's nothing in the world you have to worry about right now. There's nothing in your way right now. There's no TV on. There's no radio. You don't have your phones out. You're not texting your friends. You're just 2 to 3 minutes with God. That's all I ask.